You're listening to the Women and Drones podcast, part of the premier global platform for women in the UAS industry.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Women and Drones podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Erickson. My guest today is Mary Wanrad, founder of Wanrad Civil Engineers in Broomfield, Colorado. Mary was named one of Women in Drones Women to Watch in 2017. Congratulations, Mary, and thank you for joining us on the Women in Drones podcast today.
Well, thank you so much, Wendy. I'm happy to be here, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to be a part of this podcast.
Well, we are, again, happy to have you and want to know more about what it is that you do and how you use drones in civil engineering. Tell us a little bit about your background and exactly how drones entered your civil engineering world.
It was about 2.5 years ago or so that we purchased our first drone, and it was primarily for marketing purposes. We basically wanted to get an aerial view of our larger civil engineering projects, and the drone was the perfect tool for that purpose. But it wasn't long before we found out, you know, the incredible potential of this technology and wanted to offer, you know, drone services to our current clientele, which at the time required a Section 333 exemption and COA, Certificate of Authorization, which we acquired, I think it was back in June of 2015. I do have a private pilot's license, which is what's required in order to get that certification to do UAS work commercially. And so that's kind of how we got started. And then we've kind of graduated from doing just videography and photography to a more technical type of deliverable, which is precision topographic mapping, which lends itself very well to the civil engineering side of our company, where we are actually using UAS topographic data for our civil engineering designs.
There might be people out there listening who don't know exactly what civil engineers do. So if you want to talk a little bit about that and then how drones are helpful in what you need to do when it comes to design and building.
So just to explain it simply put, we're civil engineers. So we design basically, you know, roads, sewers, utilities. We do a lot of land development projects. We do a lot of floodplain modeling. And so in order to do all that engineering design, we have to start out on each and every project with some kind of a ground topographic survey that's usually prepared by a licensed land surveyor. So we need the highest accuracy possible using, you know, the latest technology. And so that's how we start out each and every project. We work with a lot of surveyors. We've been in Colorado for 25 years now. So we've been teaming with them as well on some of these civil engineering projects. So in a nutshell, civil engineers design bridges, roads, sewers, everything you see when you look out the window, basically, except
right,
for the buildings.
So the drones come into play. Does it replace what the surveyors do or the surveyor?
Not necessarily. You know, it complements.
Complements. That's a good word.
It complements a typical ground topographic survey or aerial survey. We're able to basically collect data out in the field a whole lot more efficiently as compared to ground survey. I mean, it varies depending on the size of the site and the site terrain. But we can go out and collect, say, you know, imagery and, you know, data on a 100-acre site in less than an hour. So as opposed to, say, a typical ground survey might take a day or two. So the savings is really in the field data collection time. But also, once you've processed all this data, you get just a massive amount of information, a whole lot more information than you're ever going to get from a survey. You get a high-resolution orthomosaic image, which you'll never get with a ground survey, which also is a pretty valuable tool when, you know, that engineers and scientists can use for, you know, research and design. You are getting much more than a traditional ground or aerial survey will give you.
Well, I can imagine if you're saving that much time, then you are also saving money.
And again, the savings is really tied to the field collection time. You're cutting down on the time it takes to collect this data in the field, so you're saving your clients roughly 20%. You know, we've been keeping track of these costs for the last 2.5 years. We keep track of what it costs us to prepare the final deliverables, and then we compare that to what it would have cost to do the same kind of a project, you know, with traditional methods. And that's the information that we've acquired over the last 2.5 years.
How common are drones in the engineering industry right now? Is this a situation where you are, I guess, creating new ways to use them, or maybe making, or I guess custom creating the drones that you need to do the types of things that you need to do, or is everybody using them?
No, we're actually at the forefront of implementing, you know, UAS technology into the civil engineering field and surveying. So there aren't too many firms out there doing this, and we have a niche. We're one of the few companies out there that actually performs our own data collections. We perform our own in-house photogrammetric processing and LiDAR processing. And then we deliver that information in whatever format the client needs it in. So we've got that whole workflow put together, which, you know, took us months to develop in-house. It's a proprietary in-house workflow. And it's very technical. You actually
right.
have to know. It involves several disciplines. And our workflow has been vetted by a GIS professional who teaches at CU Denver. So we know it's as accurate as you can possibly get with this, you know, the technology that's available today. We're not making any changes to our workflow. It's geospatially correct. But no, there aren't too many other firms out there doing this. There's only one other firm that I know of in the state of Colorado that has similar capabilities, and that is a 16,000-person international, you know, consulting firm. And like I said, it's just now catching on. We're actually giving a presentation next week to the American Society of Civil Engineers, the Northern Colorado chapter, where we're going to get out and talk some more about UAS applications in civil engineering. And we've given other presentations too all over the state to Colorado Department of Transportation, you know, large engineering firms. We've given already one presentation to ASCE, it was the Denver chapter. There is definitely some interest. There's a lot of skeptics. There's plenty of people who are still skeptical about the technology and, you know, the accuracy of it. But people are, you know, they're warming up to it, definitely.
Well, I'm just going to guess that is why you were nominated and then chosen to be a woman to watch in 2017, your firm leading the way. How many systems do you have? Just trying to wrap my head around. Or is this
sure.
a couple of big ones or a lot of little smaller ones? Or and do you use DJI?
We do use DJI. We started out with DJI with the Inspire 1. We now have an Inspire 1 and an Inspire 2. And, you know, they've been reliable. They're a good product. We also have custom-built drones. One of them is it's a fixed-wing platform. And there's a company in Boulder by the name of Black Swift Technologies, and they basically build these custom platforms for us. They do have they call it the Swift Trainer or the S1. It's a fixed-wing platform. It has more endurance. It can stay in the air longer, do much larger areas. We flew the Great Sand Dunes National Park with the S1. We flew a 1 square mile area last fall. We were actually the first FAA licensed operator to do a mapping mission in a national park. And then we've got another platform that we're finishing the development of right now, and it's a multi-rotor, and it's going to have a payload that includes a LiDAR scanner and a 42-megapixel camera. So
wow.
That'll be, again, another custom-built platform, one-of-a-kind, very expensive platform. but we hope to get that into service here very soon. It has, because I know there's going to be a high demand for it. I've already spoken with a lot of municipalities, counties, surveyors who could really use this technology.
Right. I can only imagine how many people are kind of watching and seeing what you're coming up with and wanting to join in and get one for themselves. And the technology is improving every day. It's hard to keep up. So
yeah, it's really impossible to keep up with, really. It's just advancing so quickly. You know, there's an infinite number of uses for this technology. You know, people are never running out of ideas.
Well, and that's exciting, especially for the engineering industry that you are in. You are not only in a profession that tends to have far more males than females. Also, the whole drone industry is definitely having more males than females. Can we talk a little bit about what that's like for you?
Just to give you a little background, my father was a civil engineer, so that's how I was introduced to this profession. And, you know, I've been an engineer for 25 years now. And, yes, going through school and graduating from University of Illinois, we were definitely in the minority. I would say our graduating class made up maybe 25% women versus 75% men. And it's pretty much, you see almost the same kind of ratio when you get out into the professional world and start consulting. At least for me, I've never felt intimidated by those numbers or, you know, being in the minority. I've never felt I was treated any differently. Maybe that's not always the case. You know, I don't know. But from my experience, I have not, you know, really experienced any isolation or, you know, anything like that. As far as the UAS profession goes, again, we're definitely in the minority, even more so than in the engineering profession. It's not uncommon for me to attend a conference or a seminar, and, you know, I might be the only woman in the room of, you know, maybe 40, 50 people. But, you know, again, I don't sense any rejection, any bias, or, you know, any negativity at all, you know, because
right.
I am female. I think, at least in Colorado here, there's a real sense of collaboration amongst people of various backgrounds and various professions who are all interested in, you know, a common goal of promoting UAS technology and all the advantages it has to offer.
So it makes sense. You grew up with a great role model for when it comes to civil engineers, your father.
Yes, exactly.
So to you, you were interested in what he was doing. He talked about it. And you probably didn't have to think really hard about, is this what I want to do? I think for those of us who didn't grow up being around engineering, maybe is it a little more intimidating for girls? I guess we're always trying to get to the root of what we can do to inspire and encourage girls to pursue these STEM subjects. And I would be interested to know if you have a theory on that.
I'm sure you're right. You know, I was accustomed to being around my father and, you know, his engineering background. You know, it might have been a little bit different for someone else. I think the key is getting girls involved at an early age, which I see a lot more of that happening. So you need to show them, you know, and get them really interested and excited about the technology and give them the opportunity to explore their passion. You don't know until you try it. Again, for me, in starting out with UAS, it's just something that, I don't know, I just had a passion for. You know, it's just been a kind of a relentless passion for the past 2.5 years, and, you know, we're only beginning. But, like you said, I intend to go out and do more STEM outreach programs, especially with local schools here in Colorado. But I think that's the key. I wish I could do more.
Right.
I have been, you know, offered opportunities to participate in a lot of presentations, symposiums. There aren't enough hours in the day to get everything done that I would like to do. But that's definitely something I still want to promote in the next year or so.
Yeah, you do have a business to run. So. Every presentation you do, you know, takes away from the business side of what you do. So I imagine you got to draw the line somewhere. But in your case, I think you are a real role model. And I can only imagine that a classroom or anywhere full of girls listening to you speak is inspirational to begin with, and much less once they listen to hear what you have to say. I mentioned this before on this podcast, but I have three daughters, so I'm very interested in STEM, and I was successful in getting my oldest daughter to go into engineering. She's in the biological engineering field, but I found that she and her friends didn't really understand what a civil engineer does or what a biological engineer does, and I found that giving examples seemed to help.
And I think hands-on, even, you know, I've been approached by colleagues of mine who would like me to have their daughters join us for half a day here at the office, do a little job shadowing, and really show them hands-on what it is we do. And we're also, of course, going to introduce the UAS because it is fun.
The right.
Technology is definitely fun. It brings a lot of excitement to the industry, both science, engineering, and surveying. A lot of fun to get out there in the field and fly these drones and expand their potential.
What do you see for the future of UAV and civil engineering? Any predictions on where this technology will take your profession?
I think this is just the beginning. I mean, this is the future. These UAS and these drones with multiple sensors and multiple capabilities, this is the future for science, engineering, and surveying. I mean, it's technology that you can't ignore. I mean, it's got so much potential, and it just brings a whole lot more quality data to our profession, and just having that data available economically to improve our designs is something that's going to catch on eventually. It's just going to take some time.
Out of curiosity, then, did you have employees of yours then go and get their remote pilot certificates, or they were all covered, I guess, under your 333? Or
we let the 333 expire, and we're now Part 107 operators. So, well, yeah, here in the office, have their Part 107 certifications. You know, it doesn't really require as much extensive background in aviation as the 333.
Right.
So it opened up a lot of opportunities to people who didn't have that aviation background.
I'm interested in knowing what new positions will be out there for people to combine with the ability to fly drones. So in your case, a surveyor who can fly drones, very valuable, I would think, in civil engineering profession.
And actually, we're just advertising and actually just awarded a contract to a new employee who, for the first time, I advertised as a project engineer / UAS operator, because they are definitely going to be hands-on with this technology and understanding how to collect it, how to process it, how to bring it into our civil engineering environment and our workflow. So that's kind of unique. There aren't too many occupations out there with that particular title.
Well, that is exciting, and I always think about that for those who are listening to this podcast, women who are interested in the technology and trying to figure out where maybe their niche would be. There you go, somebody who's interested in civil engineering and infrastructure and combining it with UAS. So somebody like Mary Wonrad might need you someday.
Exactly.
Oh, well.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for your insight today. I really appreciate it. And congratulations on being one of our women to watch. I certainly understand why and can't wait to see what the future holds. Continued success with your engineering work.
Onwards and upwards is what I say. Again, I really appreciate the opportunity to speak today, Wendy, and hope to be back again to talk some more about, you know, other aspects of UAS.
I will take you up on that. Thank you, Mary.
Okay, you bet.
Thank you for listening to the Women and Drones podcast. We invite you to check out womenanddrones.com, where we have all kinds of stories about women who are disrupting, innovating, and shaping the global drone market. Also, follow us on social media. When it comes to women and drones, the sky is the limit. I'm your host, Wendy Erickson.